Some weeks ago now, we were studying the Lord's Prayer. In fact, we covered the whole of the Lord's Prayer as it now stands in our NIV Bibles. But many of you have Bibles that don't contain the doxology, and it's not in the NIV. What is a doxology? He says, well, I'll come to that in a moment. And it isn't there in Matthew 6 that we read. But if I ask you to say the Lord's Prayer, when you got to the point of, but deliver us from evil, certainly those of you over the age of, let's say, 50, but certainly some of the younger ones as well, would then carry on by saying, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and maybe and ever as well after that. Amen. That's what we all say. And when I was at school, a few years ago now, not too many, but a few years ago, that was always included in our morning prayer. And that was because in those days we used to read from the King James's version, which included that extended verse. Now you might ask why the difference and why is it not? Why is it included in some, not in others? Very simply, when the original translation into English took place, it was done from a thing called the Byzantine Scrolls, which were 4th century scrolls, and it was easier to translate into English. And that version had, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Now, in later days, when they do the translations now, the more accurate translation comes from the Alexandrian text, which doesn't include it. So I hope that explains to you why some have it and some don't. And if you want to know more, I can give you some more details afterwards, but I think that's enough from that side of it. But I say the doxology was added and sometimes it's taken away from there. But originally, most people would agree that those words actually came from a prayer of David many, many years before. And it appears in 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, where he says, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom. And that's where I think they got it from and stuck it onto the text. But I want to spend a little bit of time this morning talking about that doxology, because although it doesn't form part of the main prayer, I think it has such a relevance, such an importance to the end of that prayer. Because it's not praying about us or what we want or what we're doing or how we're doing it. It is literally saying something about God and about us, which I'll come to as we go along. But I think it's a very important part, and I would never want to say the prayer without adding that on the end. But let me not influence. Of course, you may choose yourself as to which you want to do. Thine is the kingdom. It's our God's domain. It's a physical and a spiritual location, ruled and judged by its King, our God. Matthew here, and in other, in fact, 32 times in his gospel, he mentions the kingdom of heaven. We've just been singing about the kingdom of heaven. 32 times. But funnily enough, you won't find it anywhere else in the Bible as a statement. The kingdom of heaven only occurs in Matthew, albeit it occurs 32 times. Most of the other times, it's the kingdom of God. Just one of those curiosities which I haven't got to the bottom of yet, but it's there. But again, if you go back to David, he says, yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. His words there acknowledge the kingship of our God, our Father. He reigns and he rules over his subjects, his children. And just to remind us, in Isaiah 43:15, God says, I am your king. He is his kingdom. Our Father God is Lord over all. He reigns in his kingdom forever and ever. It's the kingdom he designed, he created, he built, and he sustains. Substitute kings don't work. A lot of people, Israel, insisted on having a king other than God, and they tried lots of them, and none of them worked. And we have lots of kings in this world today, lots of presidents and lots of prime ministers, and it doesn't work. There is only one king in this universe, and it's God. That's good news, but there's more to shout about. Because through his son, Jesus Christ, and we've been singing about it as well, we now inherit that kingdom. We are joint heirs. It is not something God created for himself. He created this kingdom that we would share it and enjoy it. Luke 12:32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you his kingdom. In Matthew 25. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. His kingdom is a place, it's a church, and he is sovereign over it all. And in his will, he is given to us freely for us to enjoy his kingdom. And we have that promise. As heirs, we have that promise. An incredible promise, really, of everlasting life in his wonderful kingdom. So when we pray, thine is the kingdom, always remember, it's yours as well. As great as he is, as powerful as whatever he's built, what he's saying is, it's my kingdom, but I want to share it with you. In all its goodness, I want to share it with you. So as you pray, that first line, for thine is a kingdom, just remember, it's his kingdom, but he wants to share it with you. Thine is the kingdom and the power. Well, he created it all. And the only way he's going to do that is with power. All power generated by God. The power to create, the power to destroy, the power to forgive, the power of grace and the power of love. It's all his. Such power, such marvellous power. I'll go back to my school days now. I used to listen at science lessons sometimes. And I remember quite vividly always being told that there's no such thing as creative power. If you got power from somewhere, you had to take it from somewhere else. You know, the example is that, you know, if you want heat, you have to take power from something else to create that heat. Or if you want to get it cold, like today, you'd like to have cold, you need power to turn it into cold. But at the end of the day, the amount of energy remains the same in total. And I remember to this day, because I used to go to church then as well, and I think, well, hang on a minute. So how did we create the world then? Where did the power come from that? The power came from God. It's his power that created. He had the original power. He's still got the original power. He's still got the power over everything. And that's his power. His power is immense. You only look at our universe, haven't you? The enormous intelligence and power it took to create and maintain that balance in our universe that keeps us here, that sustains us. That power's as big of all those planets and all those stars. But it's as small as a newborn baby. It's as small as a little finger on a newborn baby. Look at the fields that grow, the corn, the wheat, the barley, all the food we eat. Who created those seeds? What power it took. They're very small, those seeds. very gently, if you like, just to pick one up, but such great power to do so. Look at the flowers. And this week was classic, isn't it? You can sit down in the garden and look at the flowers around you, the butterflies and the bees. Who created all of those? What power it took, the ingenuity to create the flight of the insects and so on that fly around, to hover. Man still has problems trying to do things like that. God could do it so, so long ago. He had the power. He had the power and the beauty put together, working in perfect harmony. If it isn't in perfect harmony, it's probably because we tried to stop it. But in God, it's perfect. It's only people that mess it up. We have an incredibly powerful God who gave us his wonderful creation. Through our eyes and our mind, we can enjoy the fruits of his power. And through his Holy Spirit, he gives us part of that power. So here we have it again. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power, but it's a power he wants to share. Not all of it. I don't think we could cope with having all the power he's got. 2 Timothy. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. This is the gift he's given us. This is the power he's given us. It's a power that was given to the disciples at Pentecost. This is the power he gives to us each day through the Holy Spirit. What God wants us to do is to fan the flame. Use the power we're given. There is so much the Father wants to give to each one of us. So much power he wants us to give us and use day by day. For all those who love him and do his will. The more we follow, the more power we'll be given and the more we can glorify our God. It's not something we can conjure up. It's not something we can manipulate. This power belongs to God. But it's a power he wants to share with us day by day, every day. Are we asking for that power? Are we asking him to give to us what he wants to give to us so that we can share day by day in that power? Thine be the kingdom and the power and the glory. Glory. Somebody give me a definition of glory. It is so difficult to define. I don't know where we look. I looked in the dictionary for it. I've looked in the Bible to say, well, this is what glory is. And it is so, so difficult to define. But there again, my God is so, so difficult to define. He doesn't want to be defined. I can't describe it. He's a glorious God. But now we've got to turn around and say, well, what does that mean? What does glory mean? We sing about it. We're going to sing about it. Glory to God. Well, it's. I'll put a few down here, but it does not cover it at all. Exaltation. He is worthy of. Give him praise. Give him honor. Give him adoration. Give him worship. Give him thanksgiving. Splendor, radiant beauty, bliss, wonder and amazement. But they're all adjectives of that glory. It's a weird word. It really is. To say it describes God is wrong. And I think that's the conclusion I came to. It's not a description of God. It is God. God is glory. Everywhere we turn, everything we see, everything we do, you can see God's glory in it. But it's not something that you can turn around and say, oh, that bit belongs to God. That's his glory. No, it's all glory. It's glory to God. Glory is God. I can't describe it better than that. I'm sorry. It's such a difficult word to do it. And we all sing it. And I think we perhaps need to think a bit more about what we sing and what it means to each one of us. But he is the power and the glory. He is the glory. But God is saying God's glory is all this and a lot more. But we can express it in so many different ways. I tried looking up again of it, and I couldn't really find one. But I think Isaiah had the same problem because he was asked this question, and he came up with, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? He has weighed the mountains on a scale. He stretches the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. To the depth of the ocean, to the highest star." He's still trying to find this expression of how big and how great and how wonderful he is. But it's all in the glory of God. But it's God's glory. There's nothing we can do to add to it. You've heard that phrase before. Whatever God has given us, whoever we are, whether we're very intelligent, whether we're very clever, it's God's glory that's made us clever. And therefore the glory belongs to God. It's not me that's clever. It's God that's clever. What he may have gifted to me is what I am. And if I'm good with my boots or shoes, maybe I'm a good footballer. Well, nothing to do with my feet. It's all to do with God, if I'm clever at anything and everything. So in whatever I am, it's to God, it's the glory, it's his glory, it's his creation, it's his intelligence, it's what he's given to me that I can use on his behalf to give him glory. Suffice, as I've said, to say that his glory is greater than any description I can make. His glory is all around us. In Revelation, the angels tried to say it as well, didn't they? "Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honour and power and strength be to our God forever and ever." Still can't describe it even up there. God created us in his power. He allows us to live in his glory. Again, it's his glory, but he's given us what I've already said before. Part of his power is given to us. Heaven is given to us. He doesn't give us his glory, but he shares his glory with us. It's all around us. And for those who live with him and abide by him, we will share that glory for an eternity. We are made to live in the light of God's glory. And the Father wants you to have all the joy of that glory. And everything we do should be for God and his glory. Whatever we achieve in life, it's because of his goodness. So whatever you do, whatever you achieve, give the glory to God. Again, another quote from Revelation 19. "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like a roar of rushing waters, and a loud peal of thunder shouting, 'Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us be glad and give him the glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given for her to wear.'" The promise of what is to come. "Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory." But our loving Father shares all of this with us. Us, the undeserving mortals. But it's his precious gift given in love. He shares it with us on this earth, as he will share it with us in eternity. And the last piece again from Revelation 22. Almost at the very end, where it's just a plea and a statement to all of us. "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. For it is his kingdom, his power, and his glory, and it's our inheritance in eternal life. So I would just add to that by saying, come, my brothers and sisters, let's give him the glory all day, every day, and know that he is the King of all, King of all things, King of all places, King of our church, King of this world, King of this universe. But let's give him the glory, for it is his.